Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM. Yesterday, Eric, we were continuing our story of the gold plates, which, of course, as we've been saying, is a very important aspect of Mormon history, because if there were no gold plates, there is no Book of Mormon. It certainly cannot be said that it would be an ancient scripture, because as Mormons have often told us, that the story of the Book of Mormon comes from these gold plates that were given to Joseph Smith, or at least told to Joseph Smith, by the angel Moroni that he eventually went and retrieved in 1827. And so we were kind of going over the story of how Joseph Smith retrieved the plates, headed for home, fighting off attackers, at times running at the top of his speed, all carrying these plates under his arm.
Well, Bill, I'm playing the skeptic here. I'm playing a faithful Mormon who's never heard this information before, and you're talking about weight. You say your plates are around 80 pounds that are steel, and you're claiming that the Book of Mormon plates, being gold, would have weighed almost 200 pounds. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. For those who didn't hear the broadcast yesterday, I have made a replica set of plates made out of sheet metal, which, of course, is much lighter than gold. My sheet metal plates are about 80 pounds, a little under 80 pounds, which would be 60% lighter than gold, had the plates actually been made of gold, as many Mormons are led to believe. And as I've mentioned, many times when I'm talking to Mormons about this, I will preface the discussion by asking them specifically, do you believe that Joseph Smith had plates of gold? Yes. Do you believe that they were really the metal gold? Yes, absolutely, I've been told by more than one, many times. I've asked hundreds of Mormons this question. The problem, of course, is if the plates were really made of gold, given the weight of gold being at 1,204 pounds per cubic foot, and of course Joseph Smith telling us the size of the plates being 6 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches deep, that size being 1/6 of a cubic foot, the gold plates would have weighed 200 pounds had they been made of gold. Some Mormons have argued that there must have been air gaps in between the leaves of the plates, because they were handmade. Well, that argument really doesn't fly if the plates were made of gold, because gold is so soft and the metal is so heavy that at least at the bottom portion of the plates, they would have been compacted to where it would have looked as if it was a solid piece of gold. And if Mormons want to say that the upper 2 inches that was translated by Joseph Smith had these huge air gaps, then they have to somehow come up with enough plates in order to give us a book that's over 500 pages long. And that seems to be a little bit ridiculous. My plates are made of 22-gauge steel, and there's 66 plates in the upper 2 inches. That's lying perfectly flat without a 50% air gap. If you want to put a 50% air gap, be my guest, but now you're down to 66 sides. You're getting rid of a lot of very necessary plates in order to give you this long book that Joseph Smith claimed to give us. So anyway.
Well, let's assume then. Okay, so you're right, Bill. They're made of gold. They're not just gold in appearance, which I think most Latter-day Saints are going to be able to say. They believe they're gold. Don't you believe in miracles? I mean, look at the Old Testament and look at all the things that took place and the parting of the Red Sea, and the New Testament. We have loaves and fishes and people rising from the dead. Why couldn't Joseph Smith have miraculously done this?
Well, this is a story that often comes up, because once a Mormon says, well, Joseph Smith must have had miraculous power or God-given power in order to do this, they are basically admitting that no human being can do this. I don't know how many times I've heard Mormons say, well, Joseph Smith was a buff farm boy. You know, he worked out on a farm. He was a strong guy. I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting that he was probably a strong kid, although at this time he's going to be about 22 years of age. But still, okay, I'll give it. He was probably a strong kid. But I'm telling you, no human being can do this. I mean, they just can't. I mean, a lot of Mormons give this impression that Joseph Smith was some kind of bodybuilder, some kind of Mr. Universe, and he wasn't that, that's to be sure.
But adrenaline sometimes kicks in, and so he's being chased by these attackers. Why wouldn't he be able to run away from them?
I've heard that argument. The problem, of course, with the adrenaline argument is adrenaline is something that happens in an instant. It doesn't usually it doesn't usually enable you to do things for a long period of time. For instance, when we hear stories of people lifting a car to get somebody out from under it that the car may have fallen on, I'm sure if you went back 30 seconds later and asked that same person to lift that car, they probably wouldn't be able to do it because that's not how adrenaline works. It's something that's very quick. And granted, that's great. But Joseph Smith has a 3-mile trek he's got to cover from the time he retrieves the plates out of the hollow log where he had hid them after taking them out of the ground. And he's got to go 3 miles. And he's carrying this huge weight under his arm. Now, if a Mormon wants to believe that the plates were actually made of real gold, and not just gold in appearance, as some have argued, then they have to account for this. And if they want to say that it was a miracle, then I think it behooves them to come up with the evidence that supports that. And I have not found where any Mormon leader has said that Joseph Smith needed supernatural strength. I've not found any Mormon apologists that will say that it was supernatural strength.
Then why on the streets do so many people bring up that argument, do you think?
That's a good question. I think it's only because they never really thought the story through, and this is probably the first thing that comes to mind that they hope will get them off the hook. And usually what they'll say to me is, well, don't you believe in miracles? And I say, yes, I do believe in miracles. I do believe, for instance, that God parted the Red Sea for Moses. I do believe in the miracle of the loaves and fishes. I believe in these things. I'm not saying I don't, but this is not a story where the miraculous seems to play, because Mormon leaders and Mormon apologists don't seem to use that argument. This is something that you will see the lay people using as an argument, but really in doing that, they're all by themselves. They don't have the church supporting them on this. And if in fact it was a supernatural strength that was given to Joseph Smith in order for him to lift the plates, then why in the world are Mormon apologists, these same people who defend Mormonism, trying to make arguments showing that the plates were actually lighter than they would have been had they been made of gold? Because what I find is many of the apologists don't believe the plates were made of pure gold. And what they actually will say, it was instead made of an alloy. Now, I think this is important because when we go back into the evening Dean Jesse's Dean Jesse, who's a Mormon historian, talks about this Lucy Mack Smith 1829 letter to Mary Smith Pierce. She says, "Dear sister, it is my pleasure to inform you of a great work which the Lord has wrought in our family, for he has made his paths known to Joseph in dreams, and it pleased God to show him where he could dig to attain an ancient record engraven upon plates made of pure gold." Now, where did Lucy Mack Smith get that information? I mean, she never really saw the plates. She may have handled them much in the same way that the witnesses handled them, but they were always covered up. But she, as far as we know, she never really looked at them with her naked eye or even saw them in vision, as far as I know. I could be wrong on that. But we also have David Whitmer, when he did an interview, in the Saints Herald on the 15th of February, 1878, the interviewer said, "Mr. Whitmer is considered a truthful, honest, and law-abiding citizen by this community, and consequently, his appointment drew out a large audience. Mr. Whitmer stated that he had often handled the identical golden plates which Mr. Smith received from the hand of the angel. He said it was of pure gold. Part of the book was sealed up solid. The other part was open, and it was this part which was translated and is termed today the Mormon Bible." So here they are saying that the plates were actually made of gold, not just having the appearance of gold. Then we also have the LDS Church News back in May 15th, 1999, on page 16. It was on the back page. It was an article titled "Hands-On Opportunity," where it said, On his, and speaking of Moroni's, last visit, he, speaking of Joseph Smith, was entrusted with plates of solid gold, which he had been translating by the power of the Spirit. Now, what's interesting about this quotation is when the Mormon Church took it from its printed page and put it on the electronic version on the internet of the church news, they changed the wording. It no longer says solid gold anymore. I think someone probably wrote them and who knows what they said. Hey, there's some guy out there who's challenging this idea of solid gold because it'd be too heavy. Maybe they realized that that just wouldn't fly. And so they made this correction. So what we have here is we have the Mormons having to change the story as it's been understood through much of its history to make it more palatable or more believable with its own membership. And hopefully, I would imagine, probably more palatable towards those who might be investigating the Mormon Church.
Now, Bill, you've been doing this since 2007. What do you think that the average reaction is from most Mormons when you are giving this information? Is this new information for them? Have they ever thought through this story that well?
I think for many of them, it is new information. I don't know as if a lot of the people that I've talked to are all that familiar with the story itself. And this is what's very interesting. I'm out there actually quoting their own story, the way it's been recorded in their own material. And yet oftentimes I'm being accused of making things up, when here I've just been listening to them make up stories to try and make it work. And I have to keep reminding them, look, I am reading from your own material. This is what your correlated manual says. This is what your church historians have said. This is what Joseph Smith said. This is what his mother said. I'm trying to stick with the story as it's been related by your church. Help me. Help me believe this. Sell me on this subject. I often say I've had many Mormon missionaries wanting me to believe in the gold plate story, but they can't seem to make a good case for it for me. Why don't you try and make a case for me so I can believe this today? And usually what they have to do is they have to get away from the story as it has been written and accepted from the Mormon Church throughout much of its history and wanting me to believe something that really cannot be supported from their own writings. We're going to continue this topic because this is an essential topic if you're going to be talking to Mormons and this comes up. So we hope that you'll be with us tomorrow as we continue our study of the gold plates.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 in Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.